Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is the Gray and Ideas Radio Show. I am Gray and Ideas, as the man said, and we're here for another big food show this morning. Glad you could join us here on a Saturday morning with all of our food friends, and welcome back, and thank you for your support. We are back this morning with a big show with Katarina Borg joining us in about 20 minutes or so. She'll be talking my favorite topic, donuts. And then we've got a singer from, I think he's from California, who's a country music guy named Paul Nance, who will be joining us. And let me turn off this crazy music in the background. And he'll be joining us to talk about his country music and also his career and where he's headed. And without further ado, I'll be joined here with our food news girl from Jersey. Laurie, are you there? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm here.
How are you this morning? Are you ready with some food news for us?
I'm doing great this morning. We should talk about our evening last night. We had a fun time.
Yes, we did. We had grilled ham yesterday and had my daughter over with her husband, Rachel and Jason, and we had a great meal. And Laurie, would you say it was like pig candy, the ham?
Oh, my... The ham tasted like smoked bacon. It was like candy, the way you grilled it. I don't know. It's an art. The way you grill definitely is an art.
Well, what I did was I soaked it in beer, and then I added seasonings and then topped it off with honey. So I think the candy taste came from the honey, but it did turn out well. I put it on low and slow, as everybody always says, and for about, 2.5 hours, I guess it was, and, oh, man, it came out good. You were even eating the burnt fat parts.
I know. I never do that. I was cheating, and I had it this morning, too, for breakfast. There was a little left over, so I thought.
And the dog loves it, too.
Well, of course. And then you,
hang on
and
a
then
second.
You had
we
grilled,
got a, hold on a second, Laura. We got A.A. Ron calling in. I want to get him. He's decided to join us this morning. It's always nice when your sidekick shows up 3 or 4 minutes late after the show starts. But hold on, let me bring him on. Hey, Ron, good morning.
I was 1 minute late. You guys just kept rambling on for the last 4 minutes and not bringing me on.
No,
there.
No.
There's
no, you were 2 or 3 minutes late. Welcome, Mr. A.A. Ron. What's going on? Are you in Florida today?
I am. I am en route to Ormond Beach, Florida, at this point.
No, that's right. You're traveling today. You're going to a family affair, right?
Yeah. My sister.
I want your life, Aaron.
Do what?
Yeah, I know. He's always on the move.
He's always
moving
going
groovy.
Somewhere. It's fun.
No, it's never. But the problem is, I might always be going somewhere, but I'm never going anywhere fun.
You are.
I'm sure your family's glad to hear that.
I hope they're listening right now so they know what they're doing to me on my Saturday morning.
Did you hear me talking about my grilled ham I made yesterday?
I did. Hey, the only thing I didn't hear is if you made it on your green egg.
No, but Dun, da, da, da.
Stay tuned.
No, stay tuned. There's going to be late-breaking news
pictures.
This week. Yes, be posting pictures, and just look out. The big green egg is coming on. You'll be seeing it at Facebook, and Green Ideas will actually be cooking something on the big green egg.
Can I ask a real serious question right now? Who did you pay to put it together?
Me.
Lenore just said Lori did it, by the way.
Then what?
Yes.
Lenore said Lori did it because women are better at putting things together.
Yeah, tearing things up, too. Speaking of Big Green Egg, let's go ahead and play their ad since we're talking about them.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yes, as the man says, check out Big Green Egg. You can find Big Green Egg at biggreenegg.com. Go there, punch in your zip code. You can find a dealer near you, and you can be just like Green Ideas. And just wait. Look on Facebook. You're gonna see me tearing it up. There's going to be Big Green Egg pictures coming up this week. Okay. I think, did I lose the rest of you? Are you guys still there?
I'm here. We're just listening to you talk.
Yeah, just listening to you.
There's a very long delay. Aaron, are you getting the same thing that I'm getting?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm getting a delay or not, but maybe.
Anyway, there is a big delay. I can hear it. We're getting reverberating. What is that fancy word is in the radio business? Anyway, Laura, you got any food business to talk about?
I got some food business. I do have some food news. There was a little snippet here that I found about Burger King. And I'll tell you, I wish we had some stock in this because known for its Whopper hamburgers, its net profit rose to $62.9 million or 18 cents per share. It was from $48.2 million or 14 cents per share a year earlier. Can you imagine?
Well, it's about time because Burger King has had problems financially over the years. I wonder what it did it say in your article, what's causing their sales to go up?
No, it was just a little like I had found it somewhere, and I said, oh, I'm going to copy that. I said, that's really, I just would like to have that stock right now. But that's the Monday morning quarterback speaking, so.
All I got to do is go buy some and have it your way. Oh, that was bad. Anyway,
okay.
What other? There was some information I actually breezed. Believe it or not, I actually prepared and read the article. There was some information about who goes to fast food and a little bit of information about people who buy fast food, which I found intriguing.
This is a great article. I was actually very surprised myself, but it says, a recent poll found that 51% of Americans earning more than $75,000 a year were more likely to eat fast food weekly than Americans who earned less than $20,000 a year. And after reading it, it does make sense. The poorest Americans earning below $30,000 visit the fast food restaurants less frequently because they simply can't afford to eat out weekly. And that makes sense.
Well, it is expensive to go there. I've noticed when you go to Burger King and McDonald's and stuff, you can't buy anything without dropping about $9 to $10 nowadays with their so-called value meals. So it's expensive.
I know.
But I'm actually surprised.
Does that up.
I'm surprised. You said 75,000. People make $75,000 or more. How often do they eat it? I mean, what did I say, a week, a year?
It was weekly.
How much do they actually, how many times a week do they go?
It was weekly. It didn't tell you like twice a week. It just said weekly.
Oh, okay. Anyway, Aaron, we're having a hard time communicating back and forth. Can you tell?
Yeah. I think the honeymoon is over.
No, I'm afraid to talk because there's such a delay that I'm thinking, okay, once he stops and finishes, then I'll continue. Otherwise, we'll be talking over each other.
Well, no, we hear you. clearly. The problem you're having is you're in the studio next to me and you're hearing me talk, and then on top of that you're waiting for the delay. So stop waiting for the delay and just go ahead and talk. When you hear me stop talking, you start talking. That's how it works. Hey, Aaron, it's kind of a novel idea on radio. When one person stops talking, the other one starts talking.
Oh, he's in big trouble.
Well,
normally
when you're in that situation, she's talking all over
you. See?
Yeah, that's what happens. That's just a woman thing. But normally when you're sitting in a studio next to one another, you're listening real time and not listening to the delay. So.
Now we're getting cell phone problems from you.
Well, no, you're not getting cell phone. You're getting a bunch of pickup and nine people talking in the car at the same time.
This is really going really well. So, Laurie, do you have any more food news?
Well, can I continue my article?
Yes, of course you can, because you won't move on to the next story until you do.
Of course. Okay, even though 85% of wealthy Americans believe that the fast food is unhealthy, it's convenient and tastes that factor into their high consumption. Really? While fast food is a rare treat for those with lower annual incomes. See, it's a treat for them.
Are you done with it? I think we just cleared.
No.
We went through that already. Oh, okay, keep going.
No, 8 in 10 Americans eat fast food monthly, and almost half said that they eat fast food weekly. So here we go. Here's me. Only 4% claimed they never eat at fast food restaurants. Actually, I used to be one of them. Now, when people say that,
there's a bunch of people out there who are too foo-foo to admit that they ate at a fast food restaurant. I don't believe it. When people say they've never eaten at a fast food restaurant, I don't believe the story.
I always said, and everybody who knows me will tell you, the only two places I have to confess, of course, White Castle now and then, and I love Kentucky Fried Chicken.
So if someone had asked you that question, have you eaten at fast food, would you have answered yes or no?
Not with you? Of course. I'm saying I was one of those 4%. I'm not anymore.
No, you weren't. You said you ate at KFC and you ate at White Castle. So if you had said, I don't eat fast food, then you would have been lying.
Twice a year?
Yeah.
No, you know what? Probably White Castle once a year.
Is there any more to this story?
Yeah, one more little line, and this is a good one.
Actually,
57% of young adults ages 18 to 29 ate at fast food establishments weekly, so which is the highest frequency of any age group. Despite health concerns regarding fast food, the poll suggests that Americans will continue to eat fast food regularly. I'm done.
Okay. Great. Did you hear about the Pepsi flavored Cheetos?
No.
Aaron, have you heard about the Pepsi flavored Cheetos in Japan? No.
He's gone.
Aaron. Anyway, I saw an article this week about Pepsi-flavored Cheetos, and Laurie, being the food news girl, you mean you don't know about this?
Sorry. I was busy prepping for your daughter and her husband.
Anyway, in Japan, the big deal is flavored Cheetos, and the biggest move right now is Pepsi flavor, and it's coming to America. They've had such a big run on it in Japan that they're not going to be testing it here. For the life of me, I can't even imagine
what
it tastes like. But I guess that's the big deal now is Pepsi flavored Cheetos. So get on that story next week, even though I did send it to you. Obviously, you don't read my emails, but check into that story next week and let us know more about Pepsi-flavored Cheetos and all the different flavors of Cheetos that they're coming out with.
I'll have to make a mental note of that. Thank you.
All right. Now, do you have any other stories?
Yes, I do. This one's not very new, but according to a new study, Mediterranean diets heavy in olive oil and nuts are linked to a lower rate of strokes in older people. The research suggests, but doesn't conclusively prove, that the diet lowers or even eliminates the extra risk of stroke, perhaps by lowering the rate of diabetes. The so-called Mediterranean diet is thought to help citizens of Greece, Spain, and southern Italy lower their rates of heart disease and cancer. While the diet has received tremendous attention in recent years, which we know, there's no firm definition of what it is because foods vary from region to region. The Mediterranean diet is generally defined, however, as emphasizing olive oil, nuts, fresh produce, and fish, along with whole grain, seeds, and healthier kinds of fat. There's less focus on the dairy products, meat, and the consumption of pasta. Well, we all know that's fattening, but it's good.
Yeah. I mean, I just also read an article about that pasta. You can eat too much pasta because of the carbohydrates in pasta. It causes all kinds of physical problems if you eat too much pasta. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
I always hate these healthy stories. Is that the end of that story?
I know, but it's true. I live on olive oil, and I like nuts. I'm nuts, so.
Popeye actually lives on olive oil. Okay, so let me see. I'm gonna play a song. Take a little break, and the song I'm gonna play is by Robodrum, which is I guess it was a group that was on probably over a year and a half ago. It's called The Big Bad Wolf, and I always like this song. We're gonna take a break, and then we come back here. We should have Katarina Borg should be joining us, and we're gonna be talking about my favorite topic, donuts. So everybody, hang tight, and we'll be right back.
Oh,
and that was Robodrome is the big bad wolf. And Laurie, do you like that song?
You want to lose numbers for your radio show? Keep playing songs like that. Mm-hmm.
that's a great song.
Hey,
yeah. Do you want me to tell the truth, folks? She was in here dancing to the song, dancing all around, doing a seductive dance in front of me because of the song. So don't even play that game. Anyway, speaking of Little Red Riding Hood,
it was a horrible song. I just was trying to make light of it. I'm like, what the heck?
Speaking of Little Red Riding Hood, Big Bad Wolf, and all that stuff, we got to bring on Katarina Borg, the pastry chef extraordinaire, because she's going to be talking about my favorite topic, donuts. Good morning, Katarina. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hey, there's my beautiful friend.
Hi, guys. Did you make your coffee? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Coffee.
I know. You know what's so funny? Someone was picking on my accent. This is the truth. A female was picking on my accent just recently. And then, you know, first of all, what a boring world it would be if we all talked the exact same way. It shows where you come from. And all my friends type the word coffee, C-A-W-F-E-E. It's a joke.
Well, I tell you, you know, every time I talk about donuts and ice cream, it's just one of those things that turns people on. I don't know what it is about this fried dough, but the minute we started talking about it, just brought everybody out of the woodwork. But I have before we start talking, I've got a joke for you.
All right.
Have you ever heard of a bro nut?
Never.
What is a bro nut?
I could take that all kinds of directions, but no, I haven't. What is a bro nut?
A bro nut is two donuts that love getting glazed together.
I love that.
Silence. It's supposed to be like roaring with laughter.
I think it's
I got a good giggle out of that anyway. But okay.
Got a good giggle out of it.
So if I were to ask you what your favorite donut is, what would you say?
Oh, it's got to be the chocolate-filled chocolate donut.
So like a chocolate.
Honey glazed.
Laura, yours are honey glazed?
Yes, I love the. They look like big knots.
How about the cake ones? Do you guys like the cake ones?
Yeah, like the cake donut with chocolate with the chocolate frosting. I like those. You know,
there's two different
here,
types. There's the yeast ones. Those are like the honey glazed. And then there's the cake donuts, which are more they're still donut shape, but they're made differently. The yeast ones are made into a sheet and then rolled out and cut out. And the cake ones are dropped from a donut shaped cake dropper right into the hot oil. And they taste more like iced cake. But then you've got the French crullers. I mean, tell me you don't like a cruller.
Oh, that's what I love too, the French crullers.
I love those. But my favorite and the one that I'm making in addition to the other one that we're going to be talking about is an apple fritter donut. Do you guys like those?
Oh, they're good.
I'm not as big on on them, the apple fritters. I mean, I love like apple pie, but not the apple fritters, from Dunkin' Donuts. But that's okay.
Have you had the bear claws that are apple filled?
Oh, the bear claws are awesome. Oh yeah. I mean the bear claws are just fantastic. But the apple the key with an apple fritter donut is to have it warm. And because I think that's all with all donuts, and there are a couple of stores. We had a really great one here years and years ago and they've since changed their product, but they were adding peeled potatoes, mashed potato to their donut, and it was lasting if there were any left for 2 days. But I think most donuts, if you don't eat them by the end of the day, they're pretty much frisbees, unless they're adding some kind of conditioner to it. But this was like an all natural kind of conditioner, adding potato meal. And the way it happened was a friend of mine was. He had like a little donut route, and he would go by these guys in the morning, and he serviced all of the marinas in the area. is living on the coast. There's tons of marinas, and they all have little coffee shops and stuff. So his job was to go and pick up donuts, and then he serviced the whole area. And he went in early one morning to pick up his order, and he was ordering them from a local place. And there was this guy. All he was doing was peeling potatoes. And so he found kind of the secret that made these donuts so spectacular. And everybody was just, I mean, and you would put them in your mouth and they would just melt. You know, they would just stretch and melt and, you know, just gooey all over the place. Just absolutely delicious. So,
I'm confused. Hold on. I'm a little confused. Now, you're saying they put potatoes in the dough?
Yeah, mashed potato.
Mashed potatoes
in the dough. In the dough, yeah. And it just adds, it's like a tenderizer. And that was really their secret. And he didn't know why. It was like giving crack to these people. The minute he'd buy, you know, he'd pick up a new account, and they'd say, okay, well, give us, you know, a couple of dozen donuts. The next time he'd stop by and say, okay, well, what do you want your order to be this week? And he says, well, you know, double it. Give me 4 dozen. And the next time it would be double again. He's like, what is going on? And the guys were like, we don't know. It's these donuts have, like, drugs in them or something. Because the minute people taste them, they come back and they buy 5 more. Which is a great segue into this new donut. Have you heard of this new donut that has, like, taken the world by storm? It started this past May in New York. It's called a Cronut. Have you heard of it?
Well, I've heard it, but I have no idea what it is, because when I first heard Cronut, I was thinking it was like made out of some kind of, you know, bird or something. But what is a Cronut?
Well, it's half croissant and half donut. And this guy named Dominique Ansel, who has a Soho bakery in New York, created this donut back in May. And people are just lining up in front of his store at 6 a.m. in the morning to buy this donut. Now, he started making about 100 or 150 a day. He's up to 300, and the process is very labor-intensive. So that's one of the reasons why he can only make 300 a day, because he's a full bakery. He makes so many other things. But people are lining up for hours, and if you look on online to see photographs of the lines in front of the store before they open up, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, this donut, this Cronut, and he's trademarked the name. So if you're a bakery and you come out with a similar product, you have to name it something else. So people have come out with names like Docent, Cronut, Crescent Donut, Doissant, Docent. I mean, you name it, people are trying to cash in on this craze. And it got to the point where the guy is selling them for $5 a pop.
Really?
He will only sell 2 pieces to each person in line. I mean, you're standing in line for hours, and he will only sell you 2. He was doing bulk orders, but then what happened was there was this black market that had formed. I'm not kidding you. This, I swear to God, this I'm telling you is so true. This black market formed, and what was happening was people were calling in and placing orders for like 3 or 4 dozen Cronuts, going and picking them up, and going to, you know, another area and scalping
them. Selling them? Unbelievable.
Yes. Scalping them for up to $40 a pop. I swear to God,
people
Grill,
actually
this
paying
is,
$40 for the donut.
Yes, and not, it doesn't even stop there. It actually created, this makes me laugh every time I think of it. A Cronut slut. It created a Cronut slut, and what I mean by that is this guy started advertising on Craigslist for sexual favors in exchange for his Cronuts. I'm not kidding.
Unbelievable.
I'm totally serious. I am so serious. This is, I mean, I can't make this stuff up, you know? I mean,
no, you can't make
this
stuff up.
Insanity. So, you know, and what is it? I mean, they look delicious. I was in New York just a few weeks ago, and I didn't have a chance to try, but I'm heading back to New York in about a month or two, and we're going to be eating the town. So I'm going to really try to stop in and
And then you have to call and tell us what it was, what you think.
Yeah, and try to see what they taste like. But in the meantime, I have created my own recipe based on what I've seen it look like and how people have described it, and so I'm going to be posting that tomorrow. Now, it's a laminated dough, and the last time we talked about laminated dough was when we talked about puff pastry, and croissant dough is pretty much the same thing. And it's basically you take butter that is cold but not like hard like as it is when you take it out of the refrigerator, and it's folded into the dough. And then you create a series of layers just like you do with puff pastry. And that's why it's called laminated, because it creates all these layers. But with croissant dough, the difference between croissant dough and puff pastry is that it has yeast in it. And so after you've cut them out, you let them proof, and they'll puff up. And he fries his in grape seed oil because it has a higher smoke point. And they come out really, really high, probably about 2 times the height of a regular donut. And then what he does is he makes like a vanilla pastry, and he pokes it. Now, it looks like a donut. It's got like a hole in the center. But what he does is he still pokes like 3 little holes like in the dough part and fills it with custard and then just ices them. But, you know, other people have created their own versions, and they'll either dip them in like a cinnamon sugar or dip them in a glaze. You know, that other people like.
I just had a thought. I can go to Walmart and get the manager special, a dozen for $2.39, and then I can go on Craigslist and probably sell them instead of like 20 cents a piece. I could sell them for like 50 cents a piece for sexual favors. I could make a ton of money.
When I read that, I was like, "You're kidding me! This is insane! What is wrong with people? It's a freaking donut." You know?
Give him ideas, Katarina. Give him ideas. What do we call it? Going on ideas, donuts.
Well, yeah. I mean, I love donuts, but I don't know. There's got to be a limit, you know? And I mean, $5 a pop, I mean, if it's really good, I mean, if it's really, really something unique and different, you know, I'd pay $5 for it. I don't know about paying $5 for it.
I'd pay $5 a pop.
I'll pay $10 to have it exactly.
Hey, only Katarina and I got that joke, right?
Well, that reminds me about the other joke that I was going to tell you.
Okay.
What is a donut? It's kind of what you get when the Pillsbury Doughboy bends over. Never mind.
Oh, that's bad.
What kind of a donut did you call it?
Never mind.
Moving on.
Never mind. Someone has to explain it to me later. That goes over my head. He needs to break it down.
We're talking about all this cream and custard and donuts and nuts and cronuts, and, you know, your mind just kind of wanders.
Then you're talking about the Pillsbury Dough with hot cross buns. I don't think we need to go there. So, hey, what is the history of the donut?
Cronut
sluts.
I mean, who would have thought? I mean, that's crazy.
Did you by chance research? Hey, did you research anything about how the donut was invented? You usually have some historical background on donuts.
Yes, you do.
Well, the donut with the hole in it was created by, and I did read some little blurb about it. It was a seafaring captain, and he was concerned about, you know, what items. I mean, in those days, they were traveling very long distances and trying to find things that would survive, you know, a trip. And so a lot of breads were, you know, crisp, really crisp breads that wouldn't mold, didn't have a lot of moisture. And so there was one guy, I think his name was Gregory something or other. But anyway, there were these fried cakes, these little lard cakes that they used to make, and kind of like a biscuit. And they were making them and packing them, and they weren't making the trip. And so he went back to his baker and said, well, instead of leaving them whole, you know, cutting like just a big, you know, big hunk of what it would look like a biscuit, he says, well, why don't you put a hole in it and maybe it would cook evenly and make it crisper. And
right.
So, in fact, they tried that and it did. And that's how they were then carrying them on these long seafaring journeys. And then you kind of had people that would kind of take that idea and evolved it into what we have today. So fascinating stuff. You know, I mean,
yeah,
food, you can't ever get bored with food history. I think if anybody ever says, oh, you know, it's just food, you know, how can you get excited about food? I mean, my God, you know, you go into the historical origins of how things came about. And you know, people are going to be talking about this cronut thing for decades. You know, and the guy's been invited to all of these major talk shows, and Anthony Bourdain even sat in to fill in for one of the talk show hosts just because Dominic Ansel was scheduled to be there as a guest, and the actual host was not going to be there that day, and Bourdain volunteered. He was like, "I'll do it. I'll do it." And so you've got everybody is really just gone nuts over this. It's reached.
I can't wait for you to try it and tell us.
It's reached other places. You know, you've got bakeries in the UK creating their own versions. I just heard that it's now kind of all over Hong Kong, and you know people are, you know, there many people are calling it the French donut, but there are different versions of it, you know, and so go to your local bakery and here's Walmart.
I doubt the local Walmart has cronuts. I just have this.
Well, you went in and you asked them about tahini last time. Why don't you go in this time and ask them,
right?
Have you guys have cronuts? And see what she says.
Like I said, they would probably send me to the meat section, and cronuts just doesn't sound. It sounds more like something like a meat that you would eat, not a pastry.
Oh my God!
Anyway, those things are hard to harvest too. They're so tiny, the little cronuts. hey, we got a phone caller. Hold on a second. Somebody's calling and actually want to talk to us. This is amazing. Let's see. Oh, press the button. Good morning. This is Green Ideas Radio. You are calling in. Do you have a question for us? And I guess they don't.
I heard click.
And it was that cronut slut.
I guess it must have been the cronut slut. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that have been cool if the cronut slut had called in the Green Ideas Radio Show? So, let's talk about your website first before we forget. GoodFoodGourmet.com. Tell us more about what's .com.
I got up this morning and made my apple filling because one of my favorites is apple fritters, and I've done just about every other donut. I've done the Berliner. I've done the bomboloni, which people love, and that's another really popular one that you can have in a lot of places, restaurant places that make their own donuts in-house for dessert. And I've made crullers, and this time I said, you know, I have to make my apple fritters, and then tomorrow I've prepped the dough for the cronuts, and tomorrow they're going to be fried up. So tomorrow is the post for the cronuts. Today is going to be the post for the apple fritters, and I've got them in their first rise, and then I've got to fold in the apples. Some people use raisins in apple fritter donuts, but I don't like to use raisins, so I'm just going to use the apple filling. And we'll see how they turn out. This is the first time I'm making them, so we'll see. And everything will be on goodfoodgourmet.com, so remember to check it out.
Great.
And write in if you have any questions, how they put things together. This one's made a little bit differently. If you've had an apple fritter donut before, you know that the dough is super tender. It's kind of a cross between a cake donut and a regular yeast donut. It's really, 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 really tender. So I've done a couple little twists here that I haven't done with the other ones. So we'll see if it works out. So it's going to be all on there today and tomorrow.
You always have interesting topics, and thank you for talking about bro nuts and pro nuts and donuts and speaking to the
nuts. No, but really, next time you go to the Walmart, you have to do me a favor, please.
I am.
Please go to the Walmart and ask them for it. See what they say. I'm really dying.
Actually, that would be a great segment. Maybe I'll record it and then go to the bakery section and ask for cronuts.
I'm going to go to Soho and get that donut, that cronut. I'm taking a trip. Next time I go to Jersey.
You have to.
Oh, yeah.
They're just all over the place now. So try them.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Katarina. I appreciate it. Come back and see us again next month. Hey, what's the topic next month? Do you remember? What's the topic next month? I don't remember.
Who the heck knows? I'm going day to day. I'm going minute to minute, babe.
All right. Take care.
Have a great
take care, love. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. Go check out her website, goodfoodgourmet.com. You can find out more about cronuts. I guess she can't call them cronuts, whatever she's going to call them, and see her website and talk about the apple fritters and et cetera, and folding in her butter and all the things she was talking about. And we're going to take a brief break. And, Laurie, we've got a little time to waste. You got any more food news to talk about?
I have another little article.
Music? All right. We'll get that ready, and we're going to play a little song by Sarah Beth. And matter of fact, we might be seeing Sarah Beth here soon, sometime in September again. She was one of our guests, about 2 months ago. She's a great country music singer, up-and-comer, and her song is called Kicking and Screaming, and we're going to be leaving, taking a break, kicking and screaming, and be right back.
Missing that extra zing? Do you need a radio commercial? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I can help you. Hello, I'm Christopher Trimble, and I am a voiceover artist. I offer these great services. website intros, corporate presentations, audiobooks, radio commercials, and much, much more. Check out my site, www.christophertrimble.com, or you can call 407-556-5506. Once again, that phone number is 407-556-5506. Making noise since 1970.
And we are back here at the Green Ideas Radio Show, and the crowd is going crazy. And thank you to our guest, Katarina Borg, for joining us this morning. And it was always fun to hear all about donuts, cronuts, and bronuts. And Laurie, are you back here? I believe you are. I just pressed your button. You should be there.
I'm here again.
All right. What kind of food news story do you have before we bring on Paul Nance, our country music singer?
Avocados. I love them.
Avocados. Yes.
It says demand for avocados in U.S. market continues to climb as more fruit enters the market. A record 1.5 billion, with a B, 1.5 billion pounds of avocados were consumed in the U.S. in 2012, reflecting an ongoing dramatic increase in demand. And so far, 2013 is on track to eclipse that record. It says, it seems we are going to be well over last year's numbers for 2013, said the Haas, that's H-A-S-S, people don't know Haas Avocados, said the Haas Avocado Board. This would put Haas avocados at 1.65 million pounds or more. Avocados are really, we talked about this before, how expensive they can be.
Yes, well, coming from California and coming to the East Coast, it's like it blows me away because we could get avocados there for probably, I mean, I've seen them as low as 10 cents a piece. You get like a whole bag of 50 of them for $5 on the side of the road. But, you know, the average price was maybe 30 cents. On average in California, sometimes they go as high as 50 cents. And here, forget it.
I
mean, you just get out your wallet. You're talking $1.50, $2, even at Walmart, my favorite place to shop. they're expensive there. I think they were like $1.39 or something at the Walmart the other day, and they didn't look that good either. So
they didn't look that good.
Sorry, Walmart.
I know. Yeah, sure. But, you even bought any.
Yeah, but it's so expensive on the East Coast. That's why I do miss California because I used to eat avocados all the time. Of course, I was next door to an avocado grove, so all I had to do was walk out and grab them. Of course, the neighbor got mad at me because I was taking all his avocados, but that's another story. But yeah, making guacamole,
Oh, just slicing them for lunch. I love it. Not to get off the subject and be a squirrel here, but also look at the – remember I was telling you about bananas, how different they were? When I was in California visiting, I said, the bananas are so good here. And you come over to the East Coast, and they turn so quickly, and you notice that.
Yep, that is so true because bananas in California, you can get bananas and keep them probably a week before they start turning. Here on the East Coast,
like 2 days.
Humidity, I mean, like 2 or 3 days, and all of a sudden, you know, they start turning brown. Of course,
brown.
When you freeze them, which, by the way, folks, I think Katarina was the one who gave me this idea a few months ago.
Did.
When your bananas are getting, you're starting to turn, peel them, put them in a plastic bag, and throw them in your freezer, and then they're fantastic. You then cut them up when they're frozen. It's like eating banana ice cream.
We had
banana pudding last night with the frozen bananas, and it's excellent.
It was so good. I have to admit, I was never a big banana eater. I have to eat more fruit. I have to admit, I really do need to eat more fruit. I'm a big vegetable person, but you have me hooked on the bananas because they're frozen. And you take them out, you just slice them up, and you crunch, and you like bite them, and they're like kind of like crystallized, and it tastes like banana ice cream. And Katarina was the one who gave us that tip.
Yeah, they are excellent when they're frozen like that. Mm. And we found out that my son-in-law didn't know this till last night when we're serving
banana pudding
was he's actually allergic to bananas and he breaks out in hives. He can't even smell bananas, so that made our dinner plans kind of turn sideways. But he ate chocolate chip cookies instead, so he did okay.
Oh, he loved me for that because last minute I said, well, I have chocolate chip cookies, and I threw them in the microwave and melted them, and then I gave him a glass of milk with it, and he was like a little boy eating his cookies and milk.
Anyway, so is that the end? I know how you are with your stories. Was that the end of your avocado story? I'm assuming
no.
There's no more lines to read.
No. Do you think it's the end? Of course it's not the end.
All right. Finish your avocado story.
Okay. In the U.S., a record volume of fruit is expected to be consumed in 2013, and major sources of avocados in the U.S. market are Mexico, by far the largest, of course followed by California, and then Chile and Peru. And California's expected crop size for the year is around 500 million pounds. It says avocado demand is increasing not only in the U.S., but globally. And demand has been going up in every consuming country. The U.S., 30 million pounds a week, is becoming a benchmark number. 30 million pounds a week. We should be in the avocado business.
That's kind of tough on the East Coast. I don't think they would grow so well. But, you know,
yeah.
West Coast, yep, they were everywhere. Actually, you know what? The avocado growers in California are really struggling because the Mexican market opened up a few years ago. And, of course, when that happened, it's supply and demand. And the prices for Mexico drove the prices down in California. So a lot of the groves are just shutting down, and they're selling them to developers to build housing development. So it's been a tough few years for the avocado growers out in California.
Wow. Well, it says one of the exciting things about the avocado industry here in the United States is the marketing programs that are behind them. It says this fruit promoting the many uses of avocados and their nutritional benefits has been phenomenal, and it will continue. So so eat your avocados.
Yeah, well, they are good for you. They'll make your hair nice and shiny too. I don't know if you knew that.
I have shiny hair. I don't know. I just use shampoo and.
Well, I went to a farmer's market. Farmer's market, a lady was actually taking avocados and mixing it with milk and butter, and I don't know what she had in the concoction, but she was actually selling it, believe it or not, to horse people for horses' manes and tails. And
oh, really?
She showed, like, pictures of before and after where she was using horse hair and how it all was shiny and silky, and it had avocados and other things in it, too. But I remember avocados was one of the main ingredients, so.
Yeah.
There's something in avocados that is supposedly good for your hair. Anyway.
Well, I always tell people, instead of putting it on top, you have to eat it, like olive oil. I think olive oil helps a lot, so.
Yes. Now, let's talk about our upcoming guests. Since I got to waste some time for the next 7 minutes before our next guest comes on. Next week, we have a vintner and also blogger from Oregon. Her name is Shelley. I hope I wrote this down, Croft, I believe is her last name. She'll be joining us next week to come on and talk about, I assume, wine. And she's joining us. And then we have our good friend Sabre Ricci is going to be joining us next week to come on and talk about her monthly segment about the stars and the star signs and what foods and are supposed to eat to make you, I guess, horny is the right word, sexually active, based on your star sign. And then we have, I'm trying to set this up, I'm not sure if it's going to work, but we did this one time before and we had some technical difficulties, but the guys from dishup.com, we're trying to work out a deal next week where we're going to have a cooking class where it'll be simulcast on DishUp and also on Blog Talk Radio, if we can figure out the details again this week, but there'll be one of their chefs will be coming on, giving a demonstration so you can actually listen to the show, go to their website, and we will have an interview and while the guy is actually giving some kind of presentation on some kind of recipe, if we can work that out. That's still a possibility, but we got to work out all the kinks. And then we have Aaron English. You remember Aaron English, right, Laurie?
No.
No, of course you don't. Anyway, he's the singer, the reason I was asking, your best friend Kesey, that's one of her friends, Aaron English, and he's coming on, he's got a whole
now.
New...
That's right,
remember
that's
now?
Serena's, yes,
that's
you
Serena's
suggest him,
good
I forgot
friend.
About that, mm-hmm.
He's coming on, to sing, he's got a whole new CD, he was on a while back, so he's got some new music, and then August 31st, Garibal, I don't know who the heck Garibal is, but that's who I've got on my list here. I think it has something to do with the food industry. We have a band called See How They Run. And then in September, we got Megan Swinkard coming on. She's also a singer, and then your good buddy is coming on September 14th. Jeff Christo will be joining us September 14th.
Phenomenal,
that
chef.
Should be a lot of fun. And actually, Chef Franco, too, I got to get in touch with him. I believe he's going to be coming on in September. So that's just a few of the people we have lined up. And, of course, don't forget, too, that Emily Ellen, she's going to be coming out with her own radio show called the Emily Ellen Radio Show here on the Gray and Ideas podcast. And she's going to be – we're going to be actually, I think, taping her first show next week and working out all the kinks. So that's an up-and-coming show that we don't know yet what day it's going to air, but we'll let everybody know on Facebook and also on this show when that's ready to go. So a lot of exciting things going on at Gray and Ideas Radio, and I'm going to take another break. In fact, I'm going to play one of Paul Nance is our next guest. He's a country music singer. I'm going to play one of his songs here if I can get it to queue up. And Paul will be joining us. He's a country music singer, and I'm trying to stall time. Laura, you want to talk about avocados again?
No, I actually wanted to mention, I wanted to plug Crispo Gonzalez for a moment. One of my very good friends, we've been friends on Facebook a long time. He's so talented, but what he doesn't know and what people don't know, I had mentioned this to you, is his personality. He's a riot. He reminds me of my brother Jimmy. My brother Jimmy is on the quiet side, but he just has this dry sense of humor. And when Christo posts sometimes photos of him in different places, he just makes me laugh. And I just, whenever I have time, I love to go visit his page. And I'm excited to have him on and talk because he is so talented. I mean, a lot of talented chefs out there, of course, but Christo's personality just makes me, he just makes me crack up. So
well, it's kind of funny. Christo's kind of guy is like, here's my recipe. You don't like it? Tough.
Exactly. He's got great hair, too.
great hair. All right, I got the song queued up here, so it should work here when I push the button. This is our next guest will be coming on joining us here in a couple of minutes. The singer's name is Paul Nance, and this is his song, Behind the Wall, and we'll be right back. Hopefully he calls in during the song, and we'll be talking to Paul Nance. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
I can only wonder what he put you through. And of all the things he did, didn't do. Those days are past and gone. You're afraid to move along. So between all else and love, built a wall. Just like it was never there at all. Let me free the love locked away behind that wall. You say all you need right now is just a friend. You've lost all your faith and trust in me. The only hand I'll lay on you will be a tender touch or two. With me you'll never build another wall. I want the love that lives behind that wall. And I'll do everything I can to make it fall. Remove it stone by stone, just like it was never there at all. Let me free the love locked away behind that wall. Behind that wall there's a love way too young to die. And I know we can save it if you'll just let me try. just like it was never there at all. Let me breathe the love locked away behind that wall. We can free the love that's locked away behind that wall.
And that was Paul Nance, Behind the Wall. And Paul's going to be joining us here in just a couple of minutes. He's a country music singer, as you can see. And we'll be finding out a little bit about Paul and his career and what's going on. I want to mention, too, before we bring Paul on, I'd like to thank everyone for everything you've done for us over the last 2 years. Believe it or not, we're almost to our second year anniversary, and which is actually September the 6th or 7th, I believe it was. And thank you for everyone's support, listening each week, supporting the show. Thanks to all the guests. Thanks to everyone that helps out, the regulars. And we have now become a featured show on Blog Talk Radio because of that. And Blog Talk editors chose us as a featured show in the food category, and we couldn't have done it without you. So we thank each and every one of you for helping us out to make the show a featured show on Blog Talk. And our numbers keep growing. And thanks also to Big Green Egg for being our sponsor and putting up with us each and every week with our crazy little food show. So thank you very much to everyone for helping out, and we appreciate all that you do for that. And like I said, we got Paul Nance, who's calling in, our guest. That song you just heard was from Paul Nance, Behind the Wall. And push this button, and I should have Paul with us this morning. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing great. Welcome to the show. Where are you calling from, Paul?
From Kentucky.
From Kentucky. So is that where you're born and raised, in Kentucky?
Yes, Corbin, Kentucky.
Corbin, Kentucky. So welcome to the show. We were just listening to one of your songs. Did you write that song, Paul?
No, actually, Stacy Hogan out of Nashville wrote that and produced it.
Well, tell us a little bit about Paul. We like to bring people on that our folks, you know, listeners may have never heard before, and bring on new talent. Tell us a little bit about Paul Nance and how you got into the music business, how long you've been in the music business, and how you decided to start. I can tell by your accent that you had to sing country, but how did you get into the music business?
Actually, it's been going on for about 18 years. Me and a group of friends from my local area, we just threw a small band together and started festivals and playing honky tonks in this area and family reunion type of things, and it grew, and we started playing larger venues, opening acts at some of these festivals around here, like Kentucky Headhunter, Exile, the World Chicken Festival, Daniel Boone Festival, and things like that. And it just grew into playing larger venues, like I said, and getting into the writing process more, writing more songs. And the three songs that you're hearing that I've sent you, they are written, the Chasing Rainbow song, it is written by Patrick Lucas. They're from California. I'm sorry?
As a matter of fact, I'm going to play that song. It's called Chasing Rainbows. What is the story behind that song? The writers usually have some kind of background story behind when they write a song. Do you know the background of what made them write that song?
I actually don't. Actually, Kathleen is listening in right now. And I actually don't know the storyline. I'm pretty sure it's going to be somewhere around the lines of you know, the wording of the song.
Yeah, everybody's chasing rainbows. What we'll do is we'll play the song Chasing Rainbows, and we'll come back and chat with Paul. And Paul, be thinking about this question when I come back to you. Do you like to cook? I'll ask that question first. Do you like to cook, Paul?
I love to cook. I love it.
Well, I tell you what, be ready to tell our listeners, since this is a food show, tell our listeners about what some of the favorite things that you like to cook, maybe one of your special recipes that you'd like to share with the listeners. So everybody hang tight. The song is called Chasing Rainbows, and we'll be back to talk to Paul and Nancy here in just a couple of minutes.
Didn't think you'd write that I should call you and convince myself you wouldn't mind. So with trembling hands I dialed your number, never quite expecting your voice on the end of the line. Almost now forgetting it's different now that you're not mine. I said, hello, baby, how you doing? She said, I'm fine, but your call is a surprise. Last I heard of you, you'd left the city, headed for Montana or the Canada line. I'll never understand you, so what's on your mind? No, we used to chase those rainbows. A better time I've never seen. So tell me, girl, where did the time go? Like never. Like it's never really been. Lately I've been thinking about us, baby, hoping maybe you've been doing the same. I'm wondering if I might come by and see you, if only for a moment. Baby, could I hold you before I'm on my way? And I hear her sweet voice speaking softly, and with every word I feel the pain. She found somebody new, she thinks she's in love with him, but she doesn't want to see me. Wouldn't be the same. I said, I hope you're happy, 'cause I'm the one to blame. No, we used to chase those rainbows. Better times I've never seen. Tell me, girl, where did the time? Never really been.
And that was Paul Nance, Chasing Rainbows. We have Paul on the phone here with us this morning. And, Paul, we asked you a question before we went to your song, Chasing Rainbows, and said you like to cook. What's some of the favorite things that Paul Nance likes to cook in Kentucky?
I have a couple favorite dishes. There's this dish, it's called cornbread taco bake. You basically are making a meatloaf with taco seasoning. And then you spread different types of fried corn across this, and then you bake a sweet cornbread and layer it with that, and then you have three different types of cheese that you melt across of basically your favorite type of cheese, and
right.
You bake it just like you're doing a meatloaf, and it's delicious.
That's unique and sounds really good. You need to post that recipe and send me that recipe and I'll post it on our Facebook page. So it's like a taco cornbread.
Yeah, basically. It's a you like I said, you take the meatloaf and use taco seasoning, and then you layer it with fried corn and different types of corn if you wanted. Excuse me.
Right.
And you take the sweet cornbread, bake it, and then lay it on top, and then you melt cheese on it, and then you bake it until the cheese melts, and it's just delicious, like I said.
That sounds great. So, Paul, do you have a CD that you're coming out with, or is there a CD people can pick up at your, like, at your Facebook page?
Yes, it's actually you can hear those songs on I have a link on my Facebook. It's Reverb Nation, and I will be completing a CD here soon. I have some more songs I'm adding, and I should be done with it before October, hopefully. There'll be about 8 more songs added, and I'm actually getting ready to add those 3 songs to the digital website. Actually, it's in process right now. CD Baby and Spotify and iTunes. Those sites.
All right. I've got your website for Facebook page listed on our page here for the radio page this morning, and people can find you at facebook.com/pages/paul-nance-country-music-page, and that take you right to Paul, and that's your music page. You also have a personal page too called Paul Nance, but you guys check out Paul if you want to find out more about his music, his upcoming CD. You can find him there on Facebook. And this last song I've got here, Paul, did you write this one or someone else wrote it? It's called Watching the Angels Fly.
Actually, it started out as a poem by Christina Montgomery. And David Walker is a producer out of Nashville I've worked with quite a bit. And he actually structured it into a song. And he came to me with this song, and we worked on it and actually, you know, made a song of it. And he produced it and recorded it.
All right, we're going to play Watching the Angels Fly. And, Paul, we appreciate you joining us this morning on our radio show. And good luck with the new CD. And send me that cornbread taco recipe. We can post that on our Facebook page also, and keep us posted and let us know how things move along. And thank you for coming on from Kentucky this morning, and we appreciate you joining the show.
Okay, I appreciate you having me. I had a good time. Thank you.
All right, take care. Everybody, check out his website, his Facebook page, and find out more. I'm going to play a song, Watching the Angels Fly, and then we'll be back after the song for our closeout of the show. We're going to be talking to Dan, the Oyster Man. He's invited Laurie and I over for dinner. We're going to find out what we're having for dinner tonight, and then we'll be closing out the show. So everybody hang tight. This is Paul Nance, Watching the Angels Fly.
I keep lying to myself, pretending I don't care, trying to hide my feelings, but I know they're really there. I can't face the truth, my heart won't let me lie. There's an aching in my chest with each and every tear I cry. Soaring high above, looking down, up in heaven. Watching the angels fly. How I long to hold you near, instead of holding your pillow tight. All alone in this big bed, missing you more every night. It's been several years since you've been gone, and this aching in my
Hanging in there with us this morning. I don't know if you can hear in the background, we've got fire alarms going off here in town. I don't know what's going on. I hope we're not under attack, but if you can hear sirens in the background, don't worry. We're going to make it through the rest of the show, I hope. Wanted to bring on our good friend, Oyster Man Dan. You guys know Oyster Man Dan. He's our neighbor, and he's going to be actually fixing dinner for Laurie and I this evening, and I can't wait to hear what we're having for dinner. Hey, Oyster Man Dan, what are we having for dinner tonight?
We are going to take care of some excess peppers coming out of the garden and stuff them with some really good things.
All right.
Probably do our normal little bit round of oysters, of course. We got to have some oysters and hors d'oeuvres.
Hey, Laurie.
I didn't know if you muted me before.
Yeah, I muted you before. I was making sure you were there. All I can say, Dan, is I know what you do with Laurie's pepper. Just stuff it with like 30 oysters, and that'll make her day. Because I mean, the girl can eat the oysters.
I know. I think I ate like three dozen last time.
Laurie is the best oyster eater I've ever known, I think.
Will we be drinking any wine
with
our stuffed peppers?
Yeah, for a little girl, I can pound them.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, she can.
There's always time for wine.
Yeah, so we appreciate Oyster Man Dan is a chef, and you're a chef in your own right. He comes up with some really great meals for us, and we're like the mooching neighbors next door that come
over.
We are.
I know. He's always inviting us over. Well, we love Dan. How could you not? Nicest guy. We're so lucky to have a neighbor like you.
Yes, we are.
It's a two-way thing, you know.
Aww.
Well, Dan, thank you, and we'll see you for dinner. Now go stuff it up your peppers.
Sounds good.
Right,
have a good one.
Bye,
you too.
Dan.
All right, Laurie, we're almost out of time. Did you have anything else you want to add, say hello to anybody, sing a song or anything before I go to closing out the show?
I just wanted to say that was a pretty, pretty song, the last one you played by him. Was it called Angels Watching Over Me or something?
Watching Angels Fly.
Watching Angels Fly, it was something like that. That was a pretty song. And
yeah,
that
I figured
recipe,
you'd like that.
I can't wait for you to post that.
Yeah, I want to check that out. That actually sounds good with the cornbread and the meatloaf cheeses and the taco. That's definitely a country fried taco meal there. I like that. So I'm gonna try. I like cornbread anyway.
cornbread like my grandmother used to make. Oh, I wish I had that recipe, but that does sound like a good deal. So we have to check that out.
Very
Hopefully
different.
Paul will send me the recipe. Very, very different.
Yeah.
See, you never know what you're going to find out. Everybody cooks. And like we say, if you can boil a hot dog, you can be on our show. And we appreciate Paul sharing that recipe. And I guess that's all I've got. I'm looking here. I got nothing else to talk about. So I'm going to close out the show with a couple of songs and call it a day and get ready for our stuffed peppers. And we were talking about Aaron English earlier, and Aaron's going to be joining us next week as our guest. He's got some new music. So I figured what I'll do is I'll close out the show with a couple of Aaron English songs so you guys know who's coming on next week. He's got some new things that I'm looking forward to hearing. And so thank you, everyone, for joining us every Saturday. And like I said before, thank you for making us a feature show on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Laurie, for
your
fun crew news and also keeping me straight and let me throw you under the bus each and every week. And everybody, take care. The alarms are going off in the background again, so I'm going to call it a show. This is Aaron English. The first song I'm going to play is called, Animals Like Us. And then last one is an old song that he's redone, which everybody should know, which is Norwegian Wood. This is Aaron English. Everyone have a nice weekend, and we will see you next week.
Take care.
No seeds to seed naive without trust, no greed to seed of leaf without us. No seeds to seed naive without trust, no greed to seed of leaf without us. No seeds to seed naive without trust, no greed to seed of leaf without us. No seeds to seed naive without trust, no greed to seed of leaf without us. I'm derelict, I'm bound to make a ticket, could be taking different sets of willingness to take a straw, I have to take a break, I'll hop up, I'll make a shake, I'll have a little snack.
You're a little bit of a world? Or should I